KOWO Radio 104.1 FM would like to welcome you to Windows into Wimberley. Each week, Erica Clapp is joined by a guest to discuss the things that are happening in and around your town. These conversations are designed to provide the community with insight and information on a wide range of topics that are specific to the Wimberley area. Now it's time to look through the windows into Wimberley.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm your host, Erica Clapp, and today joining me, I have Mr. Bob Moore from Operation Orphans, who is the hunt director for the organization. But from what I understand, that job involves a whole lot more. Bob, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
All right. So tell me a little bit about Operation Orphans and how it got started.
All right. Operation Orphans conducted its first hunt in 1960. Been going ever since. Some of the kids got to attend more than one hunt because they were in the homes more than 1 year, or they might possibly get to come more than one hunt a year. As of this time, Operation Orphans has taken over 18,000 kids deer hunting. The startup of it that brought it about is very interesting to me in that Texas had a problem with screw worms, which were insect type that operated in live flesh on animals. So any animal that had blood showing, the screw worm flies would lay the eggs, and then the screw worms would hatch out, and it created a problem. With any animal that a live birth from the navel, there would be enough blood to get it started, any injury that the animal might get. So it created a serious problem. We lost lots of the fawns through that very thing of the screw worms. In the 50s, the state figured out that they could use radiation on the male flies and sterilize them. So the state released untold millions of sterile screwworm flies and eradicated screwworms. So that was no longer a problem. So the result was that the deer population just went wild. As that situation increased, the population of the deer got too great for the amount of forage for them. And so the state solution to that was to start taking the does, the female animals, to thin the population, because if you kill a buck, you get rid of one deer. If you kill a doe, you get rid of her and all of her future offspring. Well, the ranchers been in the cattle business or livestock business for years and years, and their mindset kind of ran the direction is you save your females for breeding stock. Therefore, the ranchers weren't too happy about taking the females. So that wasn't working out too well. Gene Ashby was the local game warden in Mason County, and back then all the homes for children were called orphanages. Probably most famous in the state was Buckner's Orphans Home in Dallas. Anyway, Gene got the idea that if they could bring some orphan kids into the ranch, those ranchers would probably let them shoot a doe. And that's the start of it, and it worked, and it has gone crazy ever since. A lot of cooperation and things happening in the state that brought about Operation Orphans being so successful.
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely an unexpected story. I never would have thought that would have created this organization. Tell me a little bit about what Operation Orphans does.
When Operation started, there was people from all over everywhere involved in it. There were several people in Austin that it was involved. It was pretty influential in state government. And so all of these things happened to make it work better, but we had access to list of the children's homes, sort of orphan's homes at that time. So they got invitations to come hunting. We was able to handle that for several years, and then it got to where that list wasn't available, and things moved along. Now there's an online list, but that we work with it. We have access to the children's homes throughout the state. So then we furnish guides for each child if the rancher wants it. So we have a long, long list of guides throughout the state that participate. Some of the ranches now furnish their own guides. The reason they do that is keep up their deer management. So many of them are quote trophy hunters. They don't want to shoot a lot of does, and so they've learned they can import a load of kids from Operation Orphans to take their required doe population out. Those guides that are with the taking the kids out are the least pay hunters from the ranch. And in 2006, we started requiring everybody working with the kids to be background checked, and so that's part of the thing I do is make sure that everybody is background checked. And I think as of right now, I've processed a little over 900 background checks of
wow.
Different people involved. Might be a little unusual. I still use a flip phone. I use a flip phone that is blocked to where it will not receive text messages. The reason for that is my address book has a little over 1,000 names in it.
Oh, my goodness.
If I receive text, you can imagine how much time I'd spend every day reading text.
I couldn't
they,
even
they imagine. They either work with me with email or they talk on the phone, and I would say 98% of all my contacts with homes, ranches, and guides is by email. But anyway, we have our website. There's places on the website where the homes and ranches both can fill out an online form to sign up to bring the kids hunting, or the ranches to sign up to host the kids. And so that's pretty neat now compared to what it was 30 years ago when everything had to be done with a pencil and by mail. And so that is nice.
Oh, I bet. So
normally we set the dates in January. Well, one other thing that we've got going, I think in about 04, 05, somewhere along there, we started having a fishing camp for the kids in the spring. We have one for the boys and one for the girls that we fish in local ranch ponds or local places on the river. And
oh,
that,
that's cool.
That goes on, and the homes can sign up for that also through the website. We have four whitetail hunts. We have one for girls that's usually the last Saturday in October, which is just before the season opens. It's a youth weekend for the younger kids. And then we have three boys hunts. Normally it's one in November, one in December, and one in January. And that about covers our what we do. How we do it, get a little more involved.
Oh, I can imagine with so many kids, it's not an easy task to get all that organized.
Well, it's not necessarily that easy a task, but I can tell you it is a rewarding task. You get your thanks, and you get the warm, fuzzy feeling when those kids show up and what they get out of it. We have had, we don't know how many people come back to guide kids that came as kids hunting.
Really?
In fact, now, of course, Operation Orphans is a nonprofit corporation governed by a board of directors. And right now, there's two people on the board of directors that came as kids.
Wow.
Yeah, and I have only had one come back that I actually guided. It was pretty unusual. In January of 2010, I got a call, and it was from the young man, and I remembered the hunt. It was rather unique in that it was a rancher had some exotic animals that he had got, and he thought they would be trophies that he could sell, and as it turned out, did not mature to make trophies that were saleable, and so his solution was to bring the kids out and let them take them. And normally we're one-on-one. We'd have got a guide for every boy, but he wanted three boys and one guide. I happened to be the one to go, and it was simple enough that he feeder went off and he put out an extra corn, and it was no trouble to tell which animals were going to be taken. But his solution was he gave me one of the boys in the blinds and he took the other two down the pasture road. Well, as it turned out, we got all three animals, and so of all the things happening there, I didn't forget the hunt. Well, that boy didn't either. He told me everything about that hunt, where we went, what he got, what I drove, the gun he used, that the lady cooked lunch for us, and she cooked each one of those boys' favorite dessert. He remembered all of that, but he did not remember which other two boys from his home was with him.
Wow.
We've had so many come back, we know that the hunts from Operation Orphans does something for him. But I think this boy nailed it. Not his exact words, but he told me, said, he was in the, well, let me back up and finish my story. I remembered him, but I didn't remember when. So I went back to our records, and I took that boy hunting in January of 87, and he called me in January of 2010. But anyway, during our conversation, he made the statement that we were throwaway kids in the orphanage homes. He said we were nobodies. And he said, we went to Operation Orphans, and for a weekend, we were somebody. And I think that's the whole point right there. You know, when somebody may drive 300 miles to be there to take him hunting, the rancher jumps through all the kind of hoops to give them a place to hunt, and that somebody spends time with them from daylight to dark. They get the idea they are somebody.
I can imagine.
Oh yeah, and you never know what the results is going to be. And I made the statement for years: only eternity is going to tell how many people is not robbed, maimed, murdered, raped, or whatever, just because that kid went deer hunting and spent a day with somebody that turned him around. And an example of that, years ago, one of the guys that was running the homes was fishing with a bunch of us, and he was talking about the kids coming hunting, and he said, you know, we got a kid that got problems, and said, we take him to the psychiatrist and spend $40-$50 a trip, and we take him for months, and we don't see any results. And this is his terminology. He said, we take them to Operation Orphans, and they spend a day with one of them old clodhopper hunters, and they turn right around.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like I said, you never know what it's going to be. Another little thing that kind of impressed me, I took a little boy hunting, and he kind of reminded me of one of the little boys that I don't remember the name of. It was a TV show, Three Little Boys, I think it was. But he wasn't very big, and he wore glasses, and his always slid down on his nose, and he'd tilt his head back to look at you. But anyway, we spent a day, and he did not get a deer. But 3 years later, I got a letter from him, and he said, Bob, you told me if I ever had anything to say to write you. Said, I was down on the creek fishing the other day, and I heard a noise behind me, and I turned around, and there was a buck. And I thought about you, and that's all the letter said.
Aw, that's really sweet.
Yeah. And you know, it just goes on and on and on like that. And it's a year or so ago, we had on one of the fishing camps, and we have a home that keep mentally challenged boys. We was out fishing, and we'd probably been there an hour and a half, and got set up, and they started catching some fish. And one of the boys, about 14, walked up to me and said, can I call you Grandpa? Can break your heart. The afternoon, there was two ladies with us, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but anyway, they were sitting around close, and the kids fishing, and he walked up, and, Grandpa, so-and-so and so-and-so, and you should have seen their mouth fly open.
Oh, that's sweet. One thing I do want to ask, you know, somebody's driving for 300 plus miles. Is this program open to any of the children's homes in the state of Texas?
Yes. Our numbers are down tremendously to what they used to be. Well, we started in 1984, so at that time, we would have close to 150 boys ever hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's pretty hard to get 70, and there's a lot of reasons I know for that. One of the reasons is that money, the homes don't struggle like they used to. Back then, the homes needed the meat that they got from the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't struggle much money-wise. There's so many more activities available. You know, the coming to Operation Orphans cost the homes nothing except transportation to get them there and back. It's all free. We have a clothing room that's pretty well stocked with good used stuff, and the kids can get anything they need or want out of that. Back when the home struggled, so that was a big drawing card to come, get some clothes for the kids. So that's no longer as much of a drawing card as it used to be. We know that we've lost some of the homes because anti-hunting people get involved in the administration of the home, and they shut the kids down and won't let them go hunting. We have a few that don't get to come because they're child welfare kids, and the caseworkers are anti-hunting and won't let them come. Just various reasons, but it's still worthwhile. And yes, when we started, we lived in Grayson County, west of Sherman, so it's 300 miles to Mason, to the camp. Back about 2000, we moved to East Texas, and so now it's only 290 miles.
Hey, every mile counts, right?
Yeah. So basically, we never make less than 7 trips a year, and sometimes we make 10 just to have those kids an opportunity to get out.
And for the ranches that host these hunts, are they mainly in the Mason area, or are they also across Texas?
We try to keep the ranches close enough that we don't have to leave before 3:30 in the morning.
Yes.
But since I've been at Operation Orphans, we have had host ranches from Del Rio to Canyon Lake to Brownwood to Sterling City. That's a pretty broad area.
It is.
But our best guess is that over the years, there's probably been at least 200 ranches hosted those kids. It's changing considerably. When we started, there was several ranches that would take 20 boys. There was two or three that would take 25. Those no longer exist. It seems like mostly the old generation has died off, and those big ranches have been broken up. That's good in one respect for us, in that the ranches that have pay hunters only let the kids take those because those bucks are worth money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we get broken up into the little ranches that they don't have pay hunters, then the kids get to take some bucks. So that helped. But right now, we only have two ranches that take eight boys, and all the rest of them are smaller. One of the hunts last year, we were on 19 ranches, and 11 of them took one or two boys. So that really tells you that the hill country has been broken up from the mm-hmm. big ranches and so many small ones. You know, we hunt on ranches that's 30 acres.
Okay. So there seems to be a lot of opportunity for people who might want to host it.
There's one thing that is extremely important in carrying on the hunts. You must keep a balance between the number of hunters you have and the number of places you have to hunt.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that is number one. And I can't even really describe the kind of people that I work with. They're special because the guides, the average run-of-the-mill people don't do things like this. The ranchers do it to support the kids. It amazes me. I work mostly my email because I forget what people tell me on the phone, and I save the emails. I come up and I need 15 places for kids to hunt, and it's 3 or 4 weeks before the hunt. I send a mass email to the ranchers begging, and I'm telling you, we get ranches. It's just a cooperative effort that works, and because the people are so supportive of it. I know there's ranches that's been hosting kids for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And some of them may be longer than that. This'll be 36 years. My wife and I have worked with Operation Orphans, and we have two people still working with it that have been doing it over 50 years. I tell the new people that Operation Orphans can be rather addicting. You'll get addicted to it.
Is there anything else that you want to add?
Oh, no, I guess I've kind of halfway run out of steam.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, Bob.
All right.
If anybody wants to find out more about Operation Orphans, what is your website?
The operationorphans.org is our website.
I was looking on it earlier today, and I know that there's that homes can sign up on there, as well as ranchers who might like to host the hunt.
Yeah, there's two or three videos on it. Yeah, there's all about us, I think, on it. It's the guy that takes care of that website is one of them that came as a kid hunting.
Oh, wow.
It's a worthwhile organization. It's hard to explain. You just, from a personal standpoint, when I started doing the hunt director job, it's really hard to guide and do that job. And I think, man, I am going to miss that, guiding them kids so much. And I still guide occasionally. If somebody doesn't show up and I'm short, I still guide. But I tell our guides, they know the satisfaction of taking a kid hunting and having a great day. I'm telling you, about 5:30, 6 o'clock, when the last bunch leaves going hunting, they don't know what satisfaction is that another one worked. And so I think because of that, it doesn't matter to me anymore whether I actually guide them or not, because of I get all the satisfaction of seeing them get out and get to go.
Yeah, that's got to be a wonderful feeling.
It is. Very certainly is. Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. And
all right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
You're quite welcome, and thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Windows into Wimberley. As always, we're here to discuss the things that are happening in and around your town. If there's something happening you'd like to know more about, or if you have topics or suggestions for the show, please contact KOWO General Manager Ryan Hsu at 512-965-9969. Join Erica Clapp on KOWO 104.1 FM next time for another look inside the Windows into Wimberley.